I'm going to get challenged a little bit this morning. I've got to stay behind this microphone, and maybe that'll be good for me this morning. Maybe that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, verses 26 and 28, and we're going to somewhere this morning. So, and you've got it in your notes, but we'll go down to chapter 2, beginning in verse 18 here in just a little bit. So I'm in the third sermon. And the title of the whole series is God's Design, Male and Female, He Created Them. So that's where we're at. I've looked at the fact that God's given us an instruction book. He's given us creation. He's given us our lives. He is the creator. And basically what we looked at is God has the design, but nobody knows what it is because nobody's a student of God's Word. Amen? And then last week we looked at the fact that male and female, He created them and equal. We're equal in many ways, men and women, but yet male and female. In today's sermon, I'm going to introduce to you two terms that not that long ago were pretty unfamiliar to me. But if you're not familiar with them, you're going to become familiar with them over the next 2 weeks. And that's the term complementarianism and egalitarianism. And we're looking at those two over the next couple of weeks. And you'll know what those mean after this morning and over the next couple of weeks. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. May God richly bless the reading of the word. You may be seated. So God created man and woman in his image and gave them two really tasks to do. He gave them the task of having dominion over or watch care over or proprietor over his creation. And the second task that he gave them to do was to multiply and fill the earth. So those were the two tasks that he's given us. Well, we are living in a dangerous time. And I heard this yesterday on Abraham Hamilton's weekend cast, and he was not on the cast yesterday. And if you're not familiar with Abraham Hamilton, you really ought to become familiar with him, because he's pretty much a voice of fresh air. And he'll tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not. But yesterday, a guy by the name of Todd Stearns, he's probably my age, and he's a Fox News contributor and also a One News Now contributor. And yesterday, sometime this morning, it was on my phone, about a 15-year-old girl. Are y'all here yet? We're living in dangerous times. In broad daylight, in New York City, was attacked by 14 or 15-year-old boys. I don't know how they kept from killing her. They literally beat her to death, kicking her in the face, in the chest. He called it the most heinous video he had ever watched in his life. I probably can't watch it. Your kids surely don't need to watch it. And somebody was filming it. All for her Air Jordan tennis shoes, her cell phone, and her debit card. We are living in dangerous times. Todd Stearns called it animalistic behavior. And that's what happens when there's no God And people are not living by God's design. That's what happens. It's called secularization. It's a country, it's a place that there's no religion. No belief in a God. No creator. We are living in a time in which God's created order. Listen carefully. This morning we're really looking at God's created order and His firmly established design and order for the home and the church is being challenged by the world. I stumble. Let me read that again. We're in a time in which God's created order and firmly established design and order for the home and the church is being challenged and even abandoned by the church. For you that like sports, I can't believe you wouldn't be familiar with this, but I'm going to tell you something that absolutely blows my mind. Young men who are young men biologically and physiologically are allowed to self-identify as a young lady and compete against young ladies. In the United States, and are deemed the winner of the meet. Speaking of dangerous times, Fallon Fox, a transgender MMA fighter, fought and defeated Tamika Brents, a biological and physiological woman, defeating her by TKO at 217 of the first round, at the same time crushing her eye socket and causing a concussion. And after the fight, Brents, which was a champion, a women fighter, said she had never felt so overwhelmed in all of her life. A man allowed to get in the ring, self-identifying as a woman, so he can overpower her and beat on her. In America, these issues not only have an influence on society, but they have a tremendous impact on the marriage, the family, and the local church. This doesn't just happen in society. It has a direct impact everywhere. God's created order and created design, are y'all listening? Does matter. Let me say that again. God's created order and created design does matter. And when it is ignored, there will be a curse from ignoring it. Not only does God's created order and created design matter, but roles, men, roles and responsibilities matter. Culture is surely confused on these issues, and it's causing the church to become more and more confused. Listen, if you're not going to be a student of God's word for the sake of your marriage and the sake of the church, why not for the next several weeks become a student of Genesis 1 through 11? Now somebody tell me that's too much to ask. So let me introduce you to those two terms again that are at the forefront in the culture and is coming to the forefront of the church, and next week we'll look at that. Complementarianism. This idea is rooted in Scripture, and it says that God created men and women as image bearers and equal in value and personhood, but that have specific characteristics, distinct roles, responsibilities, and boundaries that are visible in creation and redemption and are manifested in society and in the local church for God's glory. That's complementarianism. That's what I believe in. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for complementarianism, before I believed in egalitarianism, I would believe in patriarchy. You probably know what that is. If you don't, you can look it up. Because that's way better than egalitarianism. Egalitarianism is the belief that there are no separate gender roles in marriage and that the husband and wife will share equally in leading the family. Let me tell you, couples, if you take that approach, your marriage will not be blessed. It will be cursed, and somewhere down the road there will be trouble. And I'm challenging you today, if that's the case, that you front up right now and confront the issue. It won't work because it's not God's plan. Men and women and society, listen, will only find happiness when they accept their God-given identity and are filling their God-given roles. Are y'all with me? You will not find contentment, happiness outside doing life God's way. Let me give you a couple of examples. A man stays home, and occasionally I'll run across. I know one right now. It's come to my mind. Occasionally I run over across these things. A man stays home, educated, plays video games all day, plays Miss Mom, and Mom works all day, and comes home to the house. And all that seems good for right now. But I want to tell you, one day that setup will wear thin on the woman and that marriage will be in trouble because the woman knows deep down that ain't the way it's supposed to be and the man knows deep down he needs to get his rear out of the house and go to work. Listen to me. Wow. Young ladies, don't marry a lazy bum. I got another example for you. A man allows the woman to rule the house. Wears the pants. All the while, the woman loves it. She's in control, but she resents her gutless husband. That too will come to ruin. And I'll just tell you, both of those situations, ladies, if you're in that first situation, a man won't go to work, you might as well confront it right now. You might as well tell him. Get off your rear, get out of the house, and go to work. And if you're a man and living with a domineering woman and you're letting her run the house, you might as well today confront it because somewhere down the road, it will lead to trouble. We found out last week that men and women are equal in dignity and worth in God's eyes. And that hadn't changed to this week. But men and women are not the same. Come on, guys. We're not the same. We're not the same physically. Our anatomies are different. Our physiological makeup is different. And listen, regardless of what society and egalitarians might say, men and women have different roles to play, listen carefully, in the home, in the church, and I'll go a step further, and in society. People are always asking me about a woman president. We'll have one, but guess what? That doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't mean that's the way God planned it. Listen, they may be smarter, they may be stronger, all of those things. But physiologically, women weren't made to be the president. Can you imagine having your finger on the trigger? We have different makeup. We were created for different jobs. And I don't apologize for that. If I do, I'd be apologizing for God's Word. So I disagree, and I believe on biblical grounds that culture and egalitarians represented by, listen, radical feminists are wrong. The fall, listen, the fall nor the gospel of Jesus Christ erase sexual differences and role distinctions. Did you hear that? Listen, the fall did not erase sexual differences and role distinctions. Neither did Christ come. None of that changed it. It's a created and established order in Genesis that will never be done away in God's Word. We're just studying it right now with our kids. It's not to be added to or taken from. We found out last week that the women are equal in dignity and worth in God's eyes. But I want you to go now to Genesis 2, verses 18 through 25. You've got it in your notes. And then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." We'll look at this next week. The first time in God's Word, He says, something's not right here. First time. He said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." That's what he said. He said, there's something wrong here. This man is not going to make it by himself. He needs a helper. Listen, and when God says you need a helper and He says, "I'm going to provide that helper," we ought to say, "Thank you, Lord, who knows best but you." Verse 19, "Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name." Sit up, pay attention, young men. You might want to get married someday. So now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. None of them would work. Matter of fact, just run them through your mind now. Come on, men, you're running those through your mind. Those going to work? You know they're not going to work. Verse 21, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man." And listen what the man said. What had he already named? He had already named everything else, right? Well, guess who's going to get to name the woman? The head, Adam. This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." That's what God's Word says about the design for man and woman in Genesis 18 through 25. Let me challenge you again. You may not be a student of God's Word, and if you're not a student of God's Word right now, I want to challenge you over the next few weeks to become a student of Genesis chapters 1 through 11. That's God. You want to find God's created order? There it is. Listen carefully. This may upset you worse than anything I've said this morning. The Lord has made us for His pleasure. He has the right to do that. And He has given us unique form. He made us man and woman perfectly, exactly like He wanted to make us. And then He has given us specific calling, specific roles and duties. Amen? God's plan for men and women, listen carefully, was not an accident. He didn't say, well, I got a problem here. Man's got a problem. He needs a helper. He said, I'm going to make woman. And then he said, I don't know what to do with this. No. God's providence, God's design, God's decree stands fast. He planned it this way from the beginning. And I want to tell you right now, we've not even got to chapter 3 yet when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. So you know it's good. Listen, God's plan for men and women was not an accident, nor is it boring. Somebody say amen. And it is not of little importance. Let me tell you that God's plan is important. And if you don't want proof that God's plan's important, look at America. Look at the world. We're ignoring God's plan. This that we're talking about today is an important part of our Christian faith. Can you say pages 1, 2, and 3 of all of God's holy word? We're not talking about stuck over in the middle or at the end. We're talking about it's so important that he said it in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. But what we're talking about today, pages 1, 2, and 3. So I want you to decide who you are and what you are. Are you a complementarian? Are you an egalitarian? Are you something else? But I want you to decide what you are. And then men, you probably ought to figure it out, not your wives. And once you get it figured out, you probably ought to tell your wife what you're thinking. And I would just suggest that she's in another camp, you give her a day or two to think about it. Amen? We have much to discover. Listen to me carefully. Listen very carefully to this statement. There is beauty in God's created order. There is great beauty in the way that God designed and planned things. Somebody say amen. There's great beauty. And most people don't even know it. They're ignoring it. You know what? I just come to our house. And you won't even have to put your hearing aids in. But sometime around the break of day, okay, we've got a bird feeder outside our kitchen window, okay? And somewhere about the break of day, these little birds of all descriptions, and they change as the seasons change, they are out there just smiling and singing and praising God for how He did it. And they don't have a CD. They don't have any stock that the bottom's falling out of. All they got is that little bird feeder, and they're so glad today. I got one little bird, a little female bird. She just gets in that bird feeder, and she just kind of hunkers down in it. She just sits there picking the seed. She's found the gravy train, you know. Wow. But listen, you know what? When God's watching those little birds, don't you figure God's just smiling from ear to ear? Man, you know what he's saying? Those little birds are just being little birds. They're acting like little birds. The male bird's acting like a male bird. The female bird's acting like a female bird. He's just smiling from ear to ear. You know, we changed the time last night. Wow. So I've got a new word. I've got a new syndrome, okay? I will have DST for the next 8 months. Y'all can figure out what that is, okay? For the next 8 months till November the 3rd or 4th or whatever day it is, and they change the time back, I've got one of those, whatever everybody else has got, right? So we may have changed the time, but you know what? The moon knew when to go down, and the sun knew when to come up, and guess what? God is just smiling. He's just thinking, wow, If God can say wow about what he did, he says wow. So think about it. Think about why we're not smiling this morning. We don't know the plan. And it may get worse. We don't care about the plan. We just know how everybody else is doing it, so we'll just take a chance of doing it that way ourselves. That's stupidity. How's marriages working out in America? How's raising kids working out in America? How about 14 or 15-year-olds beating a 14 or 15-year-old girl plumb almost to death? How's that working out? You know what we need? We need some men being husbands, we need some women being wives, and we need some men and women raising kids. And listen, he didn't expect you to send them off to ABC at the age of 3 and let the government do it. Did y'all hear that? Listen to me. So we can spot the smile of God in the beauty of his creation, right? Well, but when it comes to our bodies, y'all listening now? When it comes to my body or our sexuality or our being created male and female, why do we think all of a sudden that God stopped smiling? I'll tell you why he stopped smiling. Because we're ignoring his plan for our bodies. We're ignoring his plans for our sexuality. Nobody said amen yet. We are ignoring his plan that he created as male and female. We are ignoring those things. The humanistic and secular culture is trying to convince us that manhood and womanhood is not important. Listen to me. That is malarkey. That is baloney. The scripture says he created them male and female. And I believe that's in chapter 1 of Genesis. Sexuality and how he made us male and female is important. I learned a new word. Wow. Many today are pursuing androgyny. Just to see if we've got anybody in here that's not illiterate. Anybody know what androgyny is? That's good. I'm glad it wasn't. Okay, so this is it. Androgyny. That we were made part male and part female. That's androgyny. You want me to tell you what that is? That's messed up. I don't care what you call the word. That's messed up. The scripture says he made you male and female. And listen to me. If you are a man, you are totally male. And if you're a woman, you're totally female. I thought to myself, have I ever said that? And Eddie told me something before church, and I thought, man, do you know how long ago that was? I'd pull a Hillary. I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember, you know. I don't remember. Listen, but I thought to myself, I wonder if I've ever said this. But you've heard this, right? You've heard someone say to a man, you need to tap into your feminine side. You've heard that. You just need to tap into your feminine side. Well, listen to me. Men, you don't have a feminine side. And if you do, we need to spend a few days together. I need to scrub your head. I need to punch you on the arm till it hurts. I need to show you you're a man. Listen, moms, quit calling your little boy sissy names. Did you hear me? Quit calling your little boys sissy names. Call them by their name. And say it like it's a man. We were created male and female. He created them. Many men embrace traits associated with womanhood. Wow. Skinny jeans. Mamas, if you have made a mistake and brought your son skinny jeans and it's too late to take them back, go home and burn them today. Limp-wristed handshakes. If you got a little boy that don't know how to shake your hand, break it till he understands. Shake your hand like a man. A feminine voice. Hit him in the chest and say, talk like a man. Listen to me. Hairless bodies. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They rub something on their body so they don't have any body hair. Listen, men. You ought not to dress or have hair that somebody might think you're a woman. And many women embrace traits associated with manhood. Cropped off hair. Walk like and talk like a man. Cross-dressing to an extreme. Going out in public looking like a man and not even a pink jacket to tell the world that you're a woman. Hey, I got a new book for you. Elizabeth Elliot, Jim Elliot's wife. She wrote it back in the 1980s. Its title is, Let Me Be a Woman. Come on, women, let these boys be a man. Come on, world, let these young men be boys. And women, it's okay to be a woman. Many bend over backwards to avoid hard and fast stereotypes. The ultimate sin today, listen to me, is to be a man's man or a woman's woman. The ultimate sin is just to be a man. Act like a man, talk like a man, don't apologize for it. And also, society looks down on women who just want to be a woman. Men are passive, effeminate. You know what that word effeminate means? Sissies. And lacking confidence. Women have grown more and more loud, aggressive, listen, and confused about their future. A woman ought to be confused about her future. When you take a look around you and look at 90% of the men, a woman ought to say, I'm in trouble. This sums up the rapid move towards sameness in sexuality and in the secularized world. Wow, I can't believe it's been this long. Matter of fact, it's been how long it's been since I had my teeth cleaned. You know how time can slip away? Does anybody remember the time when there weren't dental hygienists? I mean, I went to the Army and had never heard of a dental hygienist. I got out of the Army and came back to Arkansas. Didn't know what a dental hygienist were. I moved to civilization in 1995 when I moved from Murfreesboro to Nashville, and I found out there was dental hygienists in the world. Listen, use dental floss, brush your teeth, and you don't have to go to the dental hygienist every 6 months. Well, in 2015, we lost our course. Y'all with me? Culture is surely confused, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you that culture doesn't have a clue what's going on. In 2015, Glamour magazine named Caitlyn Jenner the woman of the year. Hey, I'm serious. I'm not making a joke. Glamour magazine made a biological man who had had some surgeries trying to become a woman, had made her woman of the year. Tell me culture hadn't lost its course. And listen, you're still paying more attention to culture than you are to me or God's Word. So tell me you're not in trouble. That's a pretty broad stroke. Not all of you are. I apologize for that. That stroke was a little broad, okay? But for you that are not students of God's Word, I promise you, culture's teaching you more than I am or God's Word. If Brother Bob went to a college campus tomorrow, he decided he was gonna spend a week at Wichita Baptist University. And he was just going to hang around the campus and go to the student union and those kind of places. And every time he sat down with a group of young guys or an individual guy, he's going to ask this kid, he's going to ask him, tell me about your manhood. Or tell me what it means to be a man. I'm telling you, they're gonna look at Brother Bob like he's 87 years old and just got dropped on the planet Earth. Or go to that same college campus and ask a young woman about her womanhood. What? They don't have a clue. It is not accepted as acceptable to speak of manhood or womanhood in any fixed way. It's got to be fluid. This confusion leads to sex. And even in our sexuality, now fluidity trumps biology. There's no male or female. There's no structure nor rules for sex. Choose to be whatever and to be with whoever you want to be with. Y'all hear me? If in this little setting you need to be a woman, be a woman. In this setting, if you need to be a man and be with another man or a woman, be just whatever. Be whatever and with whoever and whenever you want to. Experiment with whatever and whenever you want. Listen to me. Let me tell you about sex, young people. Some of you that are a little older than young people, let me tell you about sex. The world says there's no need to wait. No need to restrain your animal desires. And surely no need to make a commitment of yourself to anybody. That's what the world's telling you. That is not what God's Word says. Just act on your latest impulse. Just act on your latest impulse. And oh, by the way, in doing that, maybe you'll figure out who you are. Well, let me tell you, read the Bible. You can figure out who you are. If you're still struggling with who you are, listen to me. If you're a man, see me and Brother Bob and Tom and Russ and Eddie and some more guys, and we'll get you straightened out. And if you're a young woman and struggling with your womanhood, you don't have a mama, ask some of the ladies of the church who you are. Listen to me, young people. It's not as complicated as they may be telling you at other places. Listen to me carefully. Here's what they tell you about all this freedom. Your sexuality, your roles, who you're with and what role you play. Your sexuality having no boundaries, no restraints. Listen to me. This is what the world tells you. You'll be happy, alive, liberated, and showing yourself just to be human. That's what the world would tell you. Y'all listening carefully now? No, here's the truth. You don't do it God's way, you will be oppressed like never before. because you're ignoring God's biblical order. When we ignore God's biblical order or promote somebody else ignoring God's biblical order, we are not liberating them, we are oppressing them. I just want my kids to be happy. Y'all with me? They're not going to be happy. They're going to be oppressed, depressed, living in sin. That's what they're going to be. Proverbs 14:12, you've got it. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way of death. Takes a rocket scientist to figure that out. That's God's holy word. Do you know that we followers of Christ, the church, and the gospel, do you know we have something better to offer? Somebody say amen. Let me say it again. Do you know that we, as followers of Christ, the church, people of the word, and the gospel, we have something better to give you? Listen to me, young people. If you're not 18 yet, if you're not old enough to vote, if you're not old enough to vote this November, listen to me. Decide right now, the best you know how, you're going to learn to do it God's way. Did you know that if this generation I just spoke of, 18 and below, would decide to do it God's way, I'm talking about in 4 or 5 years, we would see a radical turnaround in America. Just one generation that would quit believing the stupidity and quit believing the lies and do it God's way. Listen to me. And parents, you have a responsibility. Listen to me, parents. To teach those kids that I'm talking about what God's Word says. You know what Christians do? We have a totally different vision for how people flourish. Hey, the world says you flourish being free. And we say, no, you flourish when you're doing it God's way. Proverbs 10:29 says, the way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless. Listen, but the ignoring of God's word is destruction to evildoers. The Bible talks about really flourishing as we thrive. You know what he says? You'll really flourish as you operate male and female. He created them. We again find this in the first 2 or 3 pages of God's Word. Coming to belief in faith means that we learn what manhood and womanhood is all about. Really, before you go to bed tonight, before you go to work tomorrow, if you read Genesis 1 and 2, all that I've told you today would, I really believe God would just turn the light on. But if you ignore it, don't pay any attention to it, listen to me. You've either been put to sleep or got nothing out of it or whatever the case may be. But if you'll read Genesis 1 and 2, I believe before you go to bed tonight, God will firm up what I'm talking about here by the Spirit and by the Word. We learn that our bodies are not our own. You got the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Listen to this. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Psalms 103:17-18. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. I have this memorized in NIV, and that last part in NIV says, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. Listen, when you remember when you decide that you're going to be a covenant keeper with God and remember to obey His precepts, His designs, you will be a blessed person. Listen, don't give me what Glamour magazine says. Don't give me what somebody else is saying. Don't give me what feminist says. Don't give me what egalitarians say. Give me the Word. And do not apologize for the Word. Somebody struggling with transgenderism and you open up Genesis 1, 26, 27, 8 and read God made them male and female, don't apologize for it. Even if it's your kid, even if it's your niece or your nephew, love them enough to set them free with the truth of God's Word. God has given us an instruction book. He gives us His instruction, His commandments, and His precepts regarding male and female. That's the created order. And when we do it God's way, it will be blessed. And when we do it our way and are the world's way, we will surely not be blessed, but we will be cursed. There's always a flip side. We don't want to read the flip side. We want to read the blessed side. We don't want to read the flip side, do we? About being cursed. Isaiah 40 and 8 says, the grass withers, the flowers fades, but the Word of God, listen to me, the Word of God will stand forever. And let me just say, the Word of God, as it was written in the books of the law in about 1500, and the Word of God, all of the Word of God that was put together after that point, whatever it meant then, it still means today. Next week, we'll expand on not only what's going on in the culture, but next week we'll look on what is going on in the local church and specifically in the Southern Baptist Convention. The church and the marriage. That's what we're talking about. That's what is under attack. And as the marriage goes, and as the church goes, there goes America. Amen. Let's stand to be dismissed.